Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Well, it's very good to be here, my good man.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Indubitably.
Indubitably. And Derek Stone, producing.
Great to be here.
Right. Don't be laughing over there, Derek. I'm just saying. So, anyways, we got...
And Verbalton, you will be sent to the Russian front!
Okay, so let's start out with J&M Landscaping, LLC, is our sponsor this half hour. 248-640-7029. J&M Landscaping does all your normal landscaping stuff, but they also do tree services. And this is the this is the important part. With the spring storms coming, make sure you want to get your dead and dying tree limbs down before they fall on your roof and the insurance company gives you grief about whatever you did or did not do. But they also do ornamental pruning, the mowing, the edging, the trimming, the planting, the weeding. They can do sod. That's, I think, what I need to get done right now. The dogs are terrible on my grass.
Yeah. You mean people terrible. Walking their dogs and letting them run loose, that type of thing?
No, my own. I got a pack of dogs
your own.
At home right now. Jeez, they're just ripping up my courtyard. Terrible.
At least it's your dogs and not other people's dogs. Because, you know, sometimes that happens.
I have no one to blame but myself. So, 248-640-7029. Or you can get hold of Jason at j_m_landscaping@yahoo.com. So, J&M Landscaping. Great place. Jason's a good guy. Does free estimates. So, give him a call. 248-640-7029. Okay. So, we could talk about a lot of things.
Hey, you know, back to the spring storms and tree limbs falling on your roof. Sometimes, and this is, I'm being dead serious here, sometimes it could be a neighbor's tree that extends out over your roof or your property. And from what I have learned is that you are fully entitled to cut those limbs that go over your airspace.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I've got a neighbor who's got a rental property next to me, and he's an all right guy. His tenants are all right guys, but he's got that side of his house, he really doesn't take care of at all. So the trees are growing up, clogging my gutters, the whole thing. And you're right. I get up there, and they look like crap, so I trim them down.
You know. And I guess in a perfect world, if your neighbor is a reasonable person, which often isn't the case, you know, you could approach them and tell them what you're going to do, maybe even ask them to share in the cost. But we know none of that ever works out. So if you feel threatened by a neighbor's tree or it's just a nuisance, you are entitled, based on what I've learned in my community, to cut those down. And if your neighbor calls the police or whatever, tough.
You are in violation of my airspace.
Yeah, the police will come out, probably look at it and say, hey, you know, you're fully in your rights to cut those tree limbs down, and your neighbor can complain all they want.
Yeah, well, if it's on my property line or above it, yeah, airspace. That's an interesting concept. Maybe we should get an attorney in here to talk about that.
It's just like if your neighbor's drone is flying into your airspace, you're fully entitled to shoot it down.
Is that true?
No, I don't know. I think
discharge of a firearm, I think, in most communities is a bad thing.
Well, how about flamethrowers? I think those days are coming, though, where a neighbor's drone, and you won't know which neighbor's flying it, will be irritating you and spying on you and that type of thing.
Yeah, those
days are coming.
If it has a camera on it, I would be a little concerned. If the kid's got a drone and he's flying it around the neighborhood as a toy, I mean... I'd love to have a drone to fly around the neighborhood as a toy, but
buzzing your, you know, scalp,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing too. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, or perhaps with the technology out there, a neighbor's drone might be flying way above your house, but still taking pictures of you. You know, high resolution cameras that are going to be on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the nature of the beast, man. So, technology is getting to that point.
Yeah, great times, great times.
Great times ahead. All right, so let's start out with what I'm calling Obama's folly, the Iranian nuke deal framework that he's saying he has accomplished. This guy is stretching for accomplishments right now, isn't he?
He's taking cues from Neville Chamberlain.
Exactly.
With this piece of paper, peace in our time.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Well, let's start with track one. He's on the phone talking. Boy, we already got a phone call. Good? Bad?
Could be.
good or bad. Well, we're going to start out with Obama patting himself on the back because you can see that he's really stretching for something to say that's good that he's done. Obamacare is down the toilet, costs going up, so he's got nothing to tout there, his signature law. And there's nothing else going on that he can claim as being good. Even the Obama jobs numbers just came out for March.
Well, I mean, right? the world's much more peaceful and safe since he came to power.
You think?
Yeah, he got rid of all those Bush policies and solved the world's problems.
Yeah.
The Russians respect us. The Muslims are all at peace, and things are good.
Yeah, well, let's jump down there because I wanted to get to it, and I bet you I won't at the end of the hour because they always rush us. The jobs numbers for March came out, and let me pull up my paper. At least I think I have it on here.
Yeah, weren't they about half of what they were expecting?
Maybe I don't.
Yeah. 126,000, I'm going to say.
126,000. They were predicting 248.
Mm-hmm.
And so about half,
about
give
half.
Or take, of what they were expecting. And the other news that came out this week is that it's matched a 27-year low of women's participation in the workforce. All right, so there's your war on women. It's not the Republicans doing a war on women. It's Democratic policies. Okay, so he can't tout this wonderful recovery we're getting. It's like that summer of recovery from a few years back. We didn't get that either. So that's why Barack is pushing for this. I think he needs something to hang his hat on.
Oh. You know what it's like? It's like springtime for Hitler.
Was that the producers?
It was.
It was the producers, yeah.
Mel Brooks.
All right, so Derek, let's run that first track from Barack patting himself on the back. You got that one ready? Okay, here we go.
These are matters of war and peace. And they should be evaluated based on the facts and what is ultimately best for the American people and for our national security. For this is not simply a deal between my administration and Iran. This is a deal between Iran, the United States of America, and the major powers in the world, including some of our closest allies.
Except Iran or Israel.
If Congress kills this deal, not based on expert analysis, and without offering any reasonable alternative, then it's the United States that will be blamed for the failure of diplomacy. International unity will collapse, and the path to conflict will widen. The American people understand this, which is why solid majorities support a diplomatic resolution to the Iranian nuclear issue.
Okay.
It's a deal of capitulation. It's Roberto Duran in the ring against Sugar Ray Leonard saying, no mas.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
done.
It is. It's when you say Neville Chamberlain, it doesn't get any clearer this. Have we learned nothing from history? Appeasement's not going to work with Iran. Now, look at who they are. They are Muslims, right? And under their interpretation,
well, they're Muslims, but maybe not Muslims according to other Muslims.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But it's perfectly okay to lie to us in the West. Germany,
it's part
UK,
of the doctrine.
It's part of their doctrine. We are the infidels.
It's a requirement.
Yes. So they can go ahead and lie like that. But the other lie that he's talking about in there is saying America has an overwhelming majority who want this agreement. That's totally false. We all want a negotiated peace, but we don't want to let them have nuclear weapons. And this deal is showing that they're going to end up with nuclear weapons.
You know, back last week, and I'm not going to go deep on this, but you made a statement that prompted a caller to call in and take you on, and you made a statement that, I'm paraphrasing, that no American wants war. And that's true. You were taken out of context by that caller because he started pointing out John Bolton.
Yeah.
And his New York Times op-ed, I believe.
Yeah.
The point is no American, whether you're in government or a civilian, John Bolton was in government. He was United Nations, United States representative. John Bolton doesn't want war for the sake of war. John Bolton wants an agreement that will prevent war. And if you don't have an agreement that can make your national security secure, then you're at much greater risk of going to war.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so John Bolton was taken out of context saying, well, he's just a neocon wanting to start a war.
Yeah, no, I agree with that because that's a guy who's realized that when you're dealing with liars, And they're letting them keep an underground bunker. How are you going to know what's in there? All we can do is ask permission to come inspect, and they'll say, yeah, you can come in about 30 days.
And Krauthammer, he summed it up really well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy.
10, 15 years from now, they're going to have the infrastructure that makes what they've got now look like child play.
Okay, so here's how Americans are really feeling, despite Obama's saying overwhelming majority. 49% of Americans said they approve of talks with a nuclear deal with Iran, while 40% expressed disapproval. So I wouldn't call that overwhelming by any stretch of the imagination.
And there is no agreement.
Interestingly, only 27% of Americans think Iranian leaders are serious about striking a deal and addressing the nuclear concerns. 63% do not think their leaders are serious. So yes, I mean, I think we all would love to see a negotiated peace. Lay down your nuclear weapons and we'll take off the sanctions. And hey, Iran's probably a great place to vacation. Well, maybe it used to be. But I'm sure they could join the community if they soften their stance and stop putting people in prison for carrying a Bible or whatever else it is that's going on there. But John Bolton doesn't want war either. But you know what? You have to be a realist. These people are going after a nuclear weapon no matter what agreement Barack Obama thinks he can give them.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely, you know? I agree.
Let's take a quick call from John in Farmington. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, you guys. Widening the path of destruction, well, Obama and Hillary and Kerry have done that when they took out Mubarak and Gaddafi. When you have to deal with the dictator, you don't have a choice who they are. But if they're willing to deal with you, which they had for over 30 years, keeping the peace shows that they're not really true Muslims per se, but they have to say that to their own people.
Yeah, that Arab Spring
they recognize the circle of life here and how they're tied into the United States, and they would work with us. And so they took them out. There was no reason to take them out. And now look at what's happening. And he turned his back. I remember the most shocking thing when he was first in office, all the people of Iran, the young 30-year-olds, the sea of people, they reached out with their cell phones and stuff and to Obama based on how he presented himself with the Roman columns, we're not blue, we're not purple, we're not blue, we're not red, we're purple, and we're going to unite and all this. And what did he do? He just turned his back. And then allowed, by doing that, the Muslim people that are radical to rise up and wipe out the people and say, wow, this is great. We like Obama. And look at what he's done all the way through. Everything he does is a lie. The same day that he says we have this golden page agreement to us, the tweeting by the prime minister of Israel is saying in English, it's all spin.
Yeah, great.
Lie, and we're not adhering to one thing. These people, we can't even touch them in that mountain with our bunker buster bombs. These people are radical. They don't think like us. They don't want us to exist, and they're going to take us out. And Kerr is in the White House working with these people that with this ordeal about the freedom of speech gay marriage. Look at that.
Yeah, so you made a good point, John. Thanks for the call. That's a great point about the Green Revolution. Obama ignored it, and yet went after this crazy Arab Spring, which set the Middle East on fire.
You know, John makes a really good point in that part of what I think he was saying is that in Iran, the radical elements control the military, they control the intelligence services, they control the economy. And the Revolutionary Guard made it very clear that even though there was over a million people in the streets protesting the fact that Ahmadinejad, what was his name?
Ahmadinejad.
I used to be able to say it. Now I can't. I'm out of practice. When he basically stole the election, many think, and there's all those people out protesting, the Revolutionary Guard and other elements of the Iranian power, if you will, made it very clear that they were going to do whatever it takes to hold power. And that meant slaughtering people. So that makes you can connect the dots. They're going to do whatever it takes to develop nuclear weapons capability.
Yeah. So let me ask you, when you say it like that, it makes me begin to believe that, do you think the mullahs and the Iranian guard they really don't believe in Islam and in the Quran and everything else, that they're doing this as their cover to retain power and get wealthy and rich. I mean, it makes me ask the question, where is Ahmadinejad now? Did he take his chunk of change and leave town? Is he still in Iran? Is he in Switzerland hanging out? Is he poolside somewhere? Or did he yank somebody's chain and he's in chains now somewhere? He's just gone. I'd like to know where he is, because I think that would answer the question for me.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at. He's probably behind the scenes, though, in probably some type of capacity, because he's a radical element of that whole structure. I don't think he's really gone anywhere. I mean, I don't know if he's got a formal title, you know,
but they're all those guys.
All those guys are rubbing elbows. Yeah, they think he's a good guy after all, right? No, I think he's still part of all that power structure. He's got his connections, and it's just like what was the guy in Afghanistan that used to be the Karzai?
Yeah.
I mean, we thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread at first, you know, and he turned out to be one of the biggest jackasses out there.
Yeah, heroin dealer, the whole nine yards. Yeah,
him and his brother.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's take a break, Derek, and when we come back, we'll continue this and get a little into the specifics of what this nuclear framework looks like. See you on the other side.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
Experience and quality. These are two important words when it comes to auto body repairs. The last thing you need is more stress. That's why City Body on East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's historic depot town offers the finest quality collision repair service available, and they guarantee their work in writing. City Body can accommodate any collision or glass replacement need. As Ypsilanti's oldest and most recognized repair shop, City Body wants each customer's visit to be a positive experience, and they work diligently towards that goal. Customer services include free loaner cars for qualifying customers, rental cars, hassle-free insurance claims, drive-in estimating with estimates given in 30 minutes, and even towing if your car is undrivable. City Body, 20 East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's Depot Town, and open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 734-482-4737 or visit citybody.com.
My buddy Mark has issues surrounding retirement. For starters, I'm pretty sure when he hears the word, it sounds like this.
Retirement.
No, a little more ominous.
Retirement.
There you go. And every time someone mentions something about his
retirement,
he avoids the conversation. Don't get me wrong, it's not like he doesn't want to reach it. He just thinks he's getting too late of a start on it. Here's the good news, though. He's not. Not every investor starts early. And Mark still has time to turn his
retirement
into, well, a retirement.
At the Mutual Fund Store, we believe retirement planning starts by finding out where you stand and where you want to go. So make today the day you get the conversation started. Connect with your advisor for a free review of your investment portfolio or simply a second opinion on your investments. Call now. After all, your retirement is waiting.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Jameson with a Mutual Fund Store in Detroit, Ann Arbor. Call me at 248-285-9202 or visit mutualfundstore.com and let's talk about your financial goals today.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, is that kind of that music kind of like a little salute to the Hash Bash?
Oh, I forgot about that. Is that today?
I think it is.
Ooh. Oh, you know what? That's why I was asking, what kind of what's the traffic flowing downtown? One of the signs said football traffic, and I thought to myself, there's no football traffic.
Well, it's the spring game.
Oh, is what?
What difference at this point does it make?
It's the spring game, and I think a lot of people are excited because it's the beginning, if you will, on the field for the Jim Harbaugh regime.
But
Hash Bash traffic, too. I didn't really think about that earlier.
Yeah, okay. Well, so there was a football game. I was thinking to myself, that doesn't make any sense. But, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, isn't it supposed
How
to
out
be?
Of touch am I with our Ann Arbor U of M football athletic whatever program?
Isn't there supposed to be a kind of a voluntary no smoking on campus? I guess if you're smoking the wacky tobacco stuff, maybe they...
Well,
it's all medical marijuana now anyway.
Liberals, one set of rules for the rest of us,
yeah.
Different set of rules for them. So there you go. Hash. Well,
that's just
enjoy
fine, as long as you're not a Mormon.
He's laughing so hard. Oh, all right. So
I was going to say, like 20 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, an Army buddy of mine was had some training in Ohio, I think, and he shot me a line and said, hey, you know, I'm not too far away. You want to get together? I'm like, yeah, come on up. So he's from the East Coast. He's from Maine, actually. So anyway, I'll make this short. He wants to see U of M and hang around out there for a while. We're still fairly young guys, so we go up there. And, I mean, we're looking around and we're seeing all these really weird people. And I said to him, you know, there's something going on because U of M has a lot of weird people walking around campus, but this is more than usual. And then all of a sudden he tells me, he goes, you know what this is? It's the Hash Bash. I didn't even realize it was the Hash Bash, and he was right.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's not as big as it used to be. People used to just like, ooh, Hash Bash, got to go. And I barely even hear about it. If I didn't pull up the MLive once in a while, I wouldn't have known it was coming.
But ever since Shaky Jake faded away, it just hasn't been the same.
Shaky Jake. All right, well, let's get into the specifics of this deal. Derek, let's run that next track, and this is some of what Iran is allegedly giving up and what they may get. So go ahead and play that.
If Iran cheats, the world will know it. If we see something suspicious, we will inspect it. Iran's past efforts to weaponize its program will be addressed.
It requires Iran not to enrich uranium to weapons grade for 15 years, to reduce its number of operating nuclear centrifuges from 19,000 to just over 5,000, to increase the time it would take to make a bomb from a few months to a year, and to convert its underground plutonium reactor to peaceful research. UN inspectors will have full access to all of Iran's nuclear facilities, and Iran gets relief from sanctions only if it meets its commitments. Iran's foreign minister Javad Zarif claimed victory on sanctions.
When we implement our measures, there won't be no sanctions against the Islamic Republic of Iran.
But he and Kerry couldn't agree on when sanctions would be lifted, and Zarif immediately objected to a State Department fact sheet, tweeting, "There is no need to spin using fact sheets so early on." Zarif and Kerry also couldn't agree on a joint statement.
If you couldn't agree on standing up together and announcing together exactly what you've agreed on here, what makes you think that in the next 3 months you're going to actually come to an agreement?
Because there's a great deal of difference for them between what happens now and where this goes and what can happen when you have a final signature.
What? My eyes are spinning like pie plates.
Exactly. I'm just blown away. It's like rank amateur hour. Sending Lurch in to do any kind of negotiation. No wonder it's gone bad.
Lurch. You rang.
I am just mystified. Number one, who's got an underground plutonium enrichment factory?
Yeah,
whatever.
Just for peaceful purposes.
It's we're burying it underground. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah.
Don't you think it'd be easier to be above ground in case you have an accident? We can, I don't know. I'm just saying.
My friend, we do it underground, and for you, my friend, the world. It's all about peace. Peaceful. Peaceful purposes.
Exactly. All right, well, when we come back, we've got a caller on the line, Mike, and we'll get to you on the other side, Mike, so hang in there. See you on the other side.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Joe Gomez. A terrorist group that already committed a bloodbath among Christians at a Kenyan university is promising even more attacks. Al-Shabaab killed nearly 150 people in an attack at Garissa University. The Blaze's Brad James has more.
These often, and most often, are religiously motivated murders.
That's former Republican governor and possible 2016 GOP presidential hopeful Mike Huckabee on Fox and Friends. The radical Islamic terrorist army Al-Shabaab shooting Christian students at a Kenyan college. At least 147 people are dead. The Kenyan government saying five people are now in custody connected to the massacre. Huckabee saying the Obama administration needs to recognize the attacks for what they really are.
We've seen this kind of targeted action toward Christians in various parts of the world, and it ought to really be a wake-up call.
The terrorist group Al-Shabaab promising more terrorist attacks in Kenya. Brad James, The Blaze News.
A former top diplomat says Iran can still build a nuclear weapon under a deal made this week. The Blaze's Tom Peace has that story.
Of course they can. And really, it leaves in nearly Iran's total discretion what the timing for that decision will be.
That's former UN Ambassador John Bolton. President Obama saying the framework would cut off every pathway that Iran could take to build a nuclear weapon. Bolton seeing problems.
The concessions that they've made under this framework, I don't call it a deal because they haven't signed anything that commits them to anything, are trivial and easily reversible. And most importantly of all, everything that people talk about rests on the assumption that we have 100% accurate knowledge of everything that Iran is doing in the nuclear field. And I think that's fundamentally false.
Bolton going on the record on Fox News.
I'm Joe Gomez with news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
On April 13th, the Washtenaw County Republican Party will sponsor a town hall debate on Proposal 1 from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. in the Pittsfield Township Administrative Building, 6201 Michigan Avenue in Ann Arbor. The town hall debate will feature Terry Bowman, President and CEO of Union Conservatives. The debate will also feature other options that might be available to our legislators to fund the repair of our roads and bridges without a tax increase. This event is open to the public. To learn more, call 734-996-9467 or visit wash-gop.com. The Brighton Tea Party and Retake Our Gov have joined forces and are now called the Gadsden Center. You are invited to their next monthly meeting, April 14th, 7 p.m. at the Black Brewery, formerly the Shark Club, 1140 South Michigan Avenue in Howell. Special guest speaker will be Wham's own Theron X discussing Prop 1. There also may be a speaker from the Mackinac Center talking on burdensome regulations and taxes. Again, the meeting will be April 14th, 7 p.m. at the Black Brewery, 1140 South Michigan Avenue in Howell. Check out the wide variety of educational fun events put on by the Ann Arbor District Library for kids preschool through 12th grade. All library facilities can be reached by phone through the main switchboard at 734-327-4200, or you can visit www.aadl.org. Check it out.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Some action, but like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. The girls are all around, but none of them want to get with me. My threads are fresh.
And welcome back to the Drift. What was that, Tone Loc?
Yeah, now I'm in a good mood again. I needed that.
Little Tone Loc, yeah, that takes me way back. That's our college day, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I liked him in Pet Detective, too. Remember he was he was the cop.
Yeah. All right, let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor, who's been waiting patiently. Mike, welcome to the show. You want to talk about Iran and their actions on the continent of Africa.
Yeah. First of all, as regarding the treaty that supposedly was signed or it was agreed to, there was no handshake, so there's nothing there. And they're talking about inspecting all of Iran's facilities. Well, there's a facility Iran has. It's in Qusar, Syria, about 4 miles from the Lebanese border. It's an underground facility, and it was exposed by a German newspaper back in January of this year that this was built by the Iranians back in 2009. Now, that was a couple years after the Israelis bombed the nuclear reactor in Syria. So there is an ongoing reactor right now, and I'm surprised that our government didn't know anything about it, but a German newspaper, the Spiegel, wrote about it. So this is another facility the Iranians have that, if they have an agreement with them, will not be covered by this agreement.
Right. And I linked up a story on the Daily Drift, I think last week, that allegedly they're working hand-in-hand with North Korea. So there's,
of course they are.
You know, if they have their uranium or plutonium hidden or a bomb, they probably already have a bomb, or they can buy one from North Korea anytime they want. I mean, what are we going to do, stop the ship? I think we actually have done that before. But
yeah, you bring up North Korea, and look how well that all worked out, all these multi-party talks and negotiating with the North Koreans for years. And basically the North Koreans just gave us the finger and said, we're going to do what we want to do. And that's what the Iranians will do. And they are doing it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem that I'm seeing with Iran, and nobody is looking at this. You know, the Saudis have attacked Yemen. The Saudis didn't attack Yemen to protect the Saudi border. The reason the Saudis have attacked Yemen was to keep the Iranians from gaining control of the Bab el-Mandeb, which is the 18-mile narrow waterway at the bottom of a strait at the bottom of the Red Sea. And through this, 3.8 million to 4 million barrels of oil go to Europe every single day. What the Iranians have now done, and this was exposed by Breitbart back in January, and I'm surprised that none of our other news media has carried this, the Iranians now, they discovered, have a military base in Assab in Eritrea, which is directly across from Yemen, right at the Bab el-Mandeb. So basically, they are going to control the entire strait there. They will have a stranglehold on almost 4 million barrels of oil a day, which you can imagine what that's going to do to the world's economy. That, you can imagine what that would do to us, period. And
it's like the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but basically what it boils down to, then they have a chokehold on everybody. They have the Straits of Hormuz. The other thing that and this is something that...
Hey, Mike, real quick, and it's not just about oil, right? I mean, a lot of other commerce flows through there from China.
And everything goes.
So, yeah, I think I read someplace like maybe 15% of the world's total commerce flows through there.
I read that too.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
So basically what you've got is the Iranians have a chokehold on everybody. But something that people don't seem to remember, go back to the year 2005, Vladimir Putin sold the Iranians 2 diesel-powered subs. They're not your World War II subs. These are silent subs. They are very hard to detect. They're diesel-powered, but they have the capability of carrying missiles. So now you have the Iranians with 2 Russian subs that are capable of carrying missiles, and you've got them holding now the Red Sea in their control, basically, and a stranglehold on everybody.
Yeah. I think we're beginning to see, I don't know if it'll be a world war, but I can see the way Barack has mishandled this situation, that you're going to see a wider conflagration there in the Middle East, no matter what framework he puts together.
Well, look what's happening in Tunisia right now. Tunisia right now is boiling over again. You've got Algeria on the verge of going over. The royal family in Morocco is scared stiff because they're having the Islamists over there rattling their sabers. So basically, you have all of North Africa. You got the Horn of Africa, and look what's happened now with Al-Shabaab going into Kenya right now. Somalia is a basket case, and the Iranians basically control everything there.
Yeah,
and the Russians and the Chinese, they have been arming to the teeth the Iranians
for years. Do you know what the Russians and the Chinese are doing right in our hemisphere? Do you know what they're doing down in Nicaragua?
Oh, they're back, huh?
No, you know what they're doing? The Chinese are now building another canal to be parallel to the Panama Canal. This canal will now going directly through Nicaragua into Lake Nicaragua, the large lake that's in the middle of Nicaragua, and they're going to have the capability of bringing military vehicle, military ships the size of super carriers, the size of super tankers, the size of super cargo ships. And guess who's going to be protecting the Caribbean and the Pacific side of this new canal?
Russians.
You got it.
Yeah, nice.
And now China is building Russia a naval base in the Siberian Peninsula. So basically, now you've got China and Russia working together. They're working in our hemisphere, building a brand new canal, which they will control. Like they control the Chinese control the Panama Canal. So now you're going to have the main shipping canals between the Atlantic and the Pacific controlled by the Chinese, guarded by the Russians. The Iranians controlling the Red Sea Straits, and we're screwed.
It's like a game of Risk where we're losing badly. You know, the Chinese, you know, they supposedly built our railroads. Maybe they can come in and rebuild our roads here in Michigan.
Well, By the way.
We work you cheap.
did you notice that Tim Skubic had a great article in the Ann Arbor News last week about the MCCA and how they're screaming bloody murder, that these are their private funds. So evidently somebody is writing some articles about it, and there is a lot of talk about this, and there is some talk right now, from what I understand, in the State House up there, that they're trying to loosen up some of the funds from the MCCA. So,
well, good. That's a good thing.
By the way, you asked about the traffic. About an hour and a half ago, I crossed Carpenter Road and I-94. It was bumper to bumper going towards Ann Arbor. So all the potheads in Wayne County and must be headed for Ann Arbor.
the potheads and the football fans, maybe they're all one and the same.
The freaks and jocks.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Thanks, Mike. You
okay,
too.
Bye-bye.
The freaks and the potheads.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're unified today.
Okay, so
douchebags, so little time.
All right, so let's do track three, Derek, because this is Tom Basil on the Strategy Room who was talking about it, and we've hit it, but it's nice to hear someone in the media say the same things that we've been yakking about for years now. Go ahead and play that next track.
Well, you know, the most important thing that the president said yesterday was the word if. And he said it probably about a dozen times in his speech. Look, every time we've gone down the road and we've tried to make a deal, whether it's with North Korea, whether it was with Saddam Hussein through the UN, ultimately these rogue nations don't live up to their end of the bargain. And mm-hmm. also the framework for how these inspections are going to be done also mm-hmm. just doesn't pass the smell test, because what we've seen over and over is we tell them that we're coming, we give them the dates, we tell them where we're going to go, and then ultimately the regime has plenty of time to hide the ball.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's like you're 13 years old and your mom and dad say, we're going to come and inspect your room, so you hide your Playboy collection before they get there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what's even more irritating is, we're behind the French on this, because the French are now saying we back down from our original intent in negotiations. So how bad and topsy-turvy is the world when the French are tougher than we are in negotiating with somebody?
Or the Canadian foreign minister. He came out and said he was very skeptical of this whole thing. And again, this isn't a treaty, an agreement. It's a framework, and they can't even agree on the most basics of the so-called framework. So there's nothing.
Yeah.
This is all just a big load of you know what.
Yeah. Is it just a distraction? Are they distracting us from what? That you got to look at the end game. What is the shell game they're playing here? What are they trying to distract us from now?
Well, I think what we can learn from this totally one concept is that if you are a tyrant, you're a leader of a rogue nation, like the audio just said. All you have to do is hold out, cheat and retreat, play games, the whole cat and mouse thing, you give a little here, you take back more there, and you hold out long enough, and the West will take their ball and go home.
Yeah. Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show. Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Jimmy Mac, call is back.
All right. Well, we didn't get Jimmy. I don't know what to do. Okay,
hello.
So...
there he is.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, there we go. Okay. How you guys doing today?
Good, Jimmy. What's going on?
The Congress, the U.S., we've been talking about Barack Obama working, hammering out his State Department's over in Iran, hammering out this deal. The Congress now, I just heard on the news that they're going to start legislation to block this. Why? All treaties have to be ratified by them. Don't ratify it. Throw it in the trash.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you this. I agree with you. In theory, the Senate's supposed to ratify any treaty. Otherwise, it's just it's a treaty in limbo, right? So let's go back in time here, Jimmy Carter, and I believe it was SALT II, and the Senate wasn't going to ratify, and Jimmy Carter just said, it doesn't matter, we're going to go by it anyway. Am I accurate on that?
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
SALT I or SALT II, maybe it was SALT I, but one of the SALT agreements, I believe, Senate said no way, and Jimmy Carter's just like, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. The odd thing is they've already prepositioned this, Kerry and Obama, both saying it's not a treaty, and it's not going to be ratified. It's part of a multi-country treaty, and that if we don't stop our sanctions along with Germany, France, Canada, UK, whoever else, then we're the ones that are going to be at fault for having screwed the whole shebang up because we kept our sanctions on.
We're the fly in the ointment.
Yes. So, once again, it's political maneuvering and posturing on the Obama administration's part to try and throw something on the Republicans. Look what you did. You kept us from having peaceful negotiations by not taking the sanctions. The sanctions are there, and they can't be taken off.
And the sanctions are the only reason that Iran is even making, FaceTime.
Yes, at the table right now because. And right when they were hurting so bad, we're ready to take off. Leave them on for another year. I'm so tired of these people saying, the Republicans, they want war. No, we don't. Just here's your option. Keep the sanctions on for another year or two, and let's see how much quicker they want to come to the table and how much quicker they're going to say, yeah, all right, we'll give you our uranium.
You know what blew me away, too, is, just recently within the past year or two, they're saying, we're going to up the sanctions a little bit here. We're going to, implement sanctions. And I started thinking to myself, why weren't there sanctions all along at the highest level from the get-go? You know what I mean? It was like this graduated sanctions thing, just like with Russia.
Yeah.
Going to Ukraine. I would assume if we had any common sense, we would have had sanctions on for the past, with Iran, 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Well, the world is a bunch of sissies who don't want to make their politically incorrect moves, and the United States is buying into that, which is just total nonsense.
It's like, what more sanctions could we levy? Oh, wait a minute. We haven't levied really any sanctions. Now it's time to start? I think we're very late. Anyway, Jimmy, go ahead. We hijacked you there.
That's all right. you made some very good points. The biggest thing is that the United States Congress and Senate has got to rein this in. That's their job. But they'll sit by, they'll create legislation that'll do absolutely nothing. They will, the Iranians, if they really wanted a bomb, they could probably go buy one from somebody, sell them one.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they could.
Have already.
It's probably trying to get it from North Korea down to them I don't know the Pakistan-Iranian relationship. Do they not get along? Are they different?
The Pakistanis are mainly Sunni, and the Iranians, of course,
right,
are Shiite.
There you go.
So,
that keeps
yeah.
that from happening.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Al Qaeda, some of these big big wigs within Al Qaeda, they would flee to Iran because the Iranians are looking at it like the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
So they will work with these groups, these extremist Sunni groups, if they know that they can manipulate and use them as a tool against us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great call. Appreciate it, Jimmy. Take care.
Sure. You have a good day.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Let's take a call from Bruce in Grosse Pointe Farms. Bruce, how's our reception out there?
Pretty good, actually, on my car radio anyway.
Good. Welcome to the show.
I guess the atmosphere is properly ionized today.
Hey, Bruce, you call into the Abolitionist Roundtable a lot, right? Are you that Bruce?
Yeah, whenever I get a chance, if I'm not working on a weekend, I'll go ahead and put my 2 cents worth in, that type of thing.
Yeah, you're a great caller on that show.
I appreciate that. Again, I'll take my compliments where I can find them, like David Newman used to say. I listened to what Obama was saying the other day as soon as they announced this. They had it on live, and it was all I could stand. I mean, I just that's my definition of hell. If I want to go to hell, I got to listen to this guy 24/7. What he was talking about, and he said some really incredible things. He said, for instance, he said that the world's going to find out if Iran's been cheating. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, when Israel gets vaporized, and we see a mushroom cloud over Jerusalem, and Netanyahu, I would love to have been been on a speakerphone with a conversation between him and Obama the other day when he called him to tell him what was going on. Don't you find it interesting that the Israelis did not have a seat at the bargaining table through all this?
Yeah, it's kind of like just before World War II when the leader of Czechoslovakia didn't have a seat at the table.
Yeah, we were just ran that last night, I guess, a couple nights ago on the History Channel about that one episode of World War II in color, the gathering storm. And it was Germany, France, England all got together, and they just basically agreed to carve up Czechoslovakia and let Hitler move in. But see, the difference, guys, is Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, they did not have the bomb.
Right, right. Yeah. The stakes are a lot higher now.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you it's one thing to develop a nuclear weapon, but you have to have a delivery system to put it on, and that's why they're developing these ICBMs. They're not doing it for their version of 4th of July fireworks, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is not for defense by any stretch of the imagination. And it really looks like they're setting up Israel as a sacrificial lamb.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it. They're ignoring the only ally we have in the Middle East and saying, you may lose.
Yeah, and I find it very interesting now that Israel, Jordan, Egypt, the Saudis, they're all getting together. They're forming an outright alliance, an alliance of sorts, to fight the Iranians. And this is where our foreign policy, guys, is so bifurcated. On one hand, we're fighting the Iranians in the field, and on the other hand, we're there negotiating with them at the bargaining table. And when I was listening to Obama talk, all I could hear going through my mind reverberating was death to America, and the foreign minister's the Iranian foreign minister, that is, his saying that the destruction of Israel is non-negotiable. How do you negotiate in good faith with somebody who is trying to kill you?
Exactly.
What's interesting, I agree with what you're saying, Bruce, and totally. Let me ask you guys this. What's really interesting is, let's say that down the road here in a few months, the Israelis decide that they're going to take action against Iran. What's interesting to me and confusing to me is now that Iraq is basically a Shiite puppet state of Iran, controlled to a large degree by Iran. Israel, how are they going to get to Iran if they can't fly over Iraqi airspace or have a very difficult time doing so?
That's going to be a real problem that Netanyahu is going to have to come to grips with.
Yeah, well, I actually linked up a story on the Daily Drift where Saudi Arabia has actually stood down its defenses and allowed some practice runs through their northern territory with Israel.
That now makes sense. I totally believe that.
You want to talk about a world turned upside down. Saudi Arabia working with Israel, because this is, at least they're all thinking. And for me, I think it's a good thing to see this Arab army coming together to stave off the advances of Iran.
You know the whole problem with that, though, is it's an Arab army. Useless. Worthless.
Yeah. Well, I can almost guarantee you right now that the phone lines are very, very busy between Jerusalem and Riyadh and Cairo, at least.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. The more they talk, a common enemy may be what they need to come together and find a peaceful solution.
Hey, do you guys remember this? I got to throw this in real quick because this something that's lasted with me for the past 30-plus years. I was watching Johnny Carson as a teenager, and this was at the height of the Iranian hostage crisis. So it was probably 1979. It could have been 1980. I'm not sure. But Johnny Carson comes out to do his monologue, and he's talking about Iran and the Ayatollah, and he's got his jokes and everything. And then he looks at the audience at one point and says, and it's just been revealed that the Iranians are working on a nuclear weapon. And then, the audience is like, oh, and stuff. And then Johnny looks at him and says, but it's not, don't be concerned right now because their only delivery mechanism is an ox cart. but those times have changed. You guys remember that?
That was actually a really good impression, dude. You even had the mannerisms down. You guys should have been.
In 2004, Dr. Jerome Corsi published a book called Atomic Iran. And at the time, the Iranians had like the first or second generation of the Shahab missile. But he was saying that they would be working in the future on a sixth generation of this type of missile delivery system that could not only hit Israel but could also hit Southern Europe, and quite possibly if they could get enough firepower out of it, enough thrust, boost to it, where you could conceivably put the East Coast of the United States in jeopardy. So that's something we really have to think about and consider long and hard.
Yeah, and it is a fact, too, that the North Koreans have sold ballistic missile technology to the Iranians.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
As well as the Chinese and Russians.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, great call, Bruce. Glad to have you on the show. Thank you very much, guys.
Have a great Easter tomorrow.
You too, Bruce. Take care.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get one more track in here. We'll skip that next one about the foreign minister because we already kind of covered that. Let's go down and do that Howard Dean track because, you know what? When Obama's own people start to turn on him, it tells you there's a real problem. You got that Howard Dean track ready? Okay, let's play that real quick.
So I'm going to say something and you tell me why I'm wrong. I think John Kerry and Barack Obama are far, far too eager for a deal with Iran and could actually get a better deal if they walked away from the table and possibly came back later. Why am I wrong, Howard?
I actually think you're right about
Damn!
That.
Damn! I can't get anybody to play this game.
I think you're wrong.
I tell you why.
Okay, tell me why, Howard.
Because, I think the United States is negotiating from a much stronger position than we were 4 years ago.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is these guys are desperate to get rid of this.
Get rid of the sanctions is what he was saying.
You know, Howard Dean's response would have been a lot more credible if he, tossed in his, ah!
Yeah, at least Howard Dean made sense there. No, I didn't. He went on to say that he was blaming somebody else for the issues. But in the end, he's right. 4 years ago, the sanctions had not had a good effect yet. The sanctions are working. It's
sure.
Forcing them to come to the table. And yet we are so stupid and so ignorant when it comes to negotiation.
Yeah, at least we're consistent.
We're just giving it away. You know,
yeah,
all you have
always.
To do is say, you know what, not yet.
Yeah,
we're going to wait.
Again, you just have to hold out if you're a tyrant, and you'll eventually win.
Yeah, this is Barack Obama trying to get a win. He needs a win so badly that he's willing to do this. And the problem is, he should be at least awake. If Howard Dean is telling you it's not a win, Barack, it's not a win.
And not even
for your side.
No. And we know, too, that with the Iranian leadership, they're not concerned about their people.
No.
You know, as far as their people suffering from the sanctions, that doesn't affect the elite that controls the country. In a true democracy, you are worried about what your people think. Even the Chinese worry about what their people think to a large degree. But in Iran, no. You let them protest, you're going to go slaughter them, you're going to hold on to power at all costs. You'll hold out against the West, and you will win.
Yeah. And in the end, I hate to say it, the people eventually have to rise up. Will you get killed? Will there be mass murders? Of course there will. But the people of Iran eventually have to stand up. It would have been nice had Barack Obama helped them out in the Green Revolution when they first. That was the beginning. But he ignored them. So it became full circle back to the Green Revolution again.
Go green.
Go green. All right, so state's playing tonight. Cross your fingers. And until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and get the news you need to know. See you next week.
Go Blue Devils.